This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island. Standing 6'2", 300 and something pounds. He's going through it, folks. It's John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine from A Star Is Born. What are you still doing here? Abortion is healthcare. Okay, you're still on that one too. Thank you, brother. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Psych, Arthur Gabris is at home. I am not in the High and Mighty Studios. I am in the HeadGum Studios recording with recording legends. You know him from the dumbbells, it's Ryan Stanger. And from the Rod Stapes, it's Ben Rogers, a.k.a. the Action Boys.
Hey, Johnny G, thanks for that really wonderful intro.
Hey, of course, guys. It's the least I could do.
And that's the first time you've ever done an opening like that.
Yeah, and I just thought I'd try it.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's strong. I think you're going to have to update pretty soon with a quote from the maestro.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to upgrade
Coop's new offering.
I was thinking about doing his little halfling character from the new Dungeons & Dragons movie. Spoiler, there's a secret Bradley Cooper cameo in D&D.
I think you should hype it up when you have guests who you've never met before.
Brother, the hardest thing about this show is sitting across from someone who's never, and I'm like, all right, well, thank you for coming to me. You're a magazine writer, and you've never, like, anytime I have, like, a guest that isn't a comedy peer, and they just, like, look at me, and
they're like, minute one into this, it's like, why the fuck, what did somebody get me into?
It's the best. My
email address.
Sasha Baron Cohen, like, prank or something.
It's the best because you can tell they haven't listened to your pod before. Like, yeah. I don't care. I don't expect someone to. I explain that there's nothing to my show, but when they, and I go, I'm going to do an obnoxious intro, and then after that, it's just a free-form chat. They're like, totally. And then as I'm doing the intro, when it ends, someone's always like, oh, okay, so that's what you meant. And I'm like, thank you?
It did jack my heart rate up a little bit. I'd bet a lot of your weed guests have no change.
Just no reaction. I did do it live in front of Doug Benson, who I noticed had never listened to my podcast before. He was just like, oh.
This is our first time in the HeadGum Studios.
Yeah, I had them turn the heat up so that we can feel it.
Hollywood Handbook did just get out, and it was ripe.
Yeah. I think we should start a little cross-HeadGum rivalry. Those fucking pricks got it so hot in here.
I'm not fucking around. It was hot.
Jealous of the metabolic rate. They're fucking burning calories.
They're in their full thermogenic state.
We're trying to start shit, and we can't help but be jealous of their thermogenic rate. It fucking sucks.
Heat shock proteins
alone.
They even got that. Damn it, dude.
They got
a bigger listenership. The fucking heat shock proteins.
Fucking careers through the roof.
They're considered smart. I'm not. My brand is dumb, so that sucks.
I haven't worked on my brand at all, but it manages to just be dumb. Other people told me my brand. I'm starting to think it's just offensive.
So last time we were on High and Mighty, we did an Action Boys name game.
Yes.
People seem to really like it, where I wrote down, it's something we just do.
It's something we did at the retreat, like off mic for kicks.
Oh, we've done it.
I mean, we do it
for years. We just bring
we do it
up,
over text. Yes. It's like you get a text that just says Mason Storm.
and we like to identify where these names came from, what actor played what character, because the names these writers in the 80s and 90s came up with are usually pretty funny. Gabris just mentioned Mason Storm, who, of course, is Steven Seagal from Hard to Kill from 1990. Now, we wanted to do it again because people seem to really like it. We posed it as a kind of bullshit contest, even though it wasn't. It just led to a lot of conversation. Gabris was pretty locked in, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, my something in my spectrum brain activated, and I could, like, remember the credits of every movie at that
point. I was characteristically bumbling and foolish.
Yeah. Now, you played the role. You said, you're like, guys, when we do this, I'm going to kind of be, like, confused mostly.
It's like Commedia dell'arte.
Well, we
gotta
have
a dumb guy.
You had the big nose. Like,
we are also bad at this.
Yes.
Which is
hard. It's fucking hard.
It's hard. And we've actually, and this is Stanger's idea. He said we should try taglines, which is something we never even really talk about. And I actually went through a lot of taglines, and I'm not going to overdo giving myself any hard work or ethic. I went through IMDb, which we usually refer to on our podcast as the sauna.
Sauna, by the way, is the HeadGum Studio.
Yeah.
We should just sit in here in towels and gold chains.
It's so it is. You got. I mean, you can't hear this or see it. It's. It's
you
fucking
might be
disgusting.
Able to see it. It's thick in here.
A lot of people have heat vision now on their phones, so they can see the temp and feel it.
The fucking predator
can't
vision.
Find us. Yeah. It's just all red.
He took his little thing off.
He's like, what the
like, fuck, man?
He's dripping sweat. He's like, I'm a fucking predator and it's on here.
I want the mud bath.
He's returned to the HeadGum Studios.
What's up, shitheads?
Anytime. Anytime.
What's up, shitheads?
So I wrote down, I went on IMDb. I looked up a bunch of taglines. Something we don't usually discuss, and some are going to be mysteries. Some are on the fucking nose. I got a wintry mix of everything. And some are a little tricky. I did set up a couple trick questions for you guys to keep you on your toes.
Ooh, I'm going to blow this, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm better with names than I am with this shit.
It's more challenging, but some are dead giveaways. There's a couple.
Rambo's
a couple
back
gimmies.
For the second time.
Yes, there's shit like that.
His name is John Rambo, and he's going to Vietnam.
I didn't write down all those. Some, like, fully just explain the movies. But I put in a couple.
I thought of this yesterday.
Yeah.
I looked up the Robot Jocks poster just to see if it would trigger me at all. And the tagline was two machines, two men, two wild, T-O-O, wild.
I'm I love it.
I was like, I love this, but nothing about this movie is wild.
Some are so vague, like I didn't even bother writing them down. They're like an epic adventure begins.
Is it just a dream gig to be like in a fucking conference room being like, okay, here's the deal. He's a robot cop named Murph. We need a tagline for the movie. Like,
it's, you got to be like that permanent midnight guy that used to write for ALF that was just doing a bunch of heroin and coke where you can just like fucking crank them out.
Jerry Stahl.
It's a form of poetry when you really start to study him because punctuation goes anywhere. Anything can be capitalized. There's ellipses where there shouldn't be one. A couple times I like went to expand the, and it was like, oh no, that's it.
That's the full tagline. It just ends in a dot, 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 as if something else might be there.
Should we just jump into this? I got one to start off, which shadows our previous High and Mighty appearance.
So these are all movies that we've done on the Action Boys podcast.
That's
which
right.
People can listen to at actionboys.biz.
Yes.
Get our Patreon. And then a real quick thing, just a reminder, the sauna you mentioned, the origin of the sauna, for people that forgot, is I would reference, or any of us would reference,
Stanger would pretend he knew stuff.
No, yes. No, listen. It's not. Okay,
no, he was never lying. Yeah.
No, but he was lying, but he just wasn't giving credit.
Early on in the show, we would talk about IMDb a lot. And then it just felt like after the 10th time I did it in one episode, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say, I heard that the director did this. And they're like, you heard? Where did you hear that? And they called me out and made fun of me.
Because the place you spend most of the time, the longest duration of your day is spent in a sauna.
Well, then it was like, so then we just started extrapolating and saying
at the gym.
We overheard people at the gym.
Oh, right. It was be like, then, I was doing hanging leg raises and someone said they originally wanted Clint Eastwood for this role.
Then that became just the sauna.
That became just the sauna.
And then briefly, we were doing impressions of the people in the sauna who are telling us the facts and that we
it was like the Russian men.
All the Russian, and people got offended by it.
So people were like, Russians are our enemies now. And you're like, okay. So we switched our avatar to a Ukrainian flag, and we're all Gucci now.
Once it starts, nothing can stop it. The tagline is, once it starts, nothing can stop it. It is a movie from the 80s. Okay. It is a canon film.
Ooh.
It stars two guys.
Gotta keep it vague.
It stars two guys.
That's more than normal.
One wants to work at maybe a big company someday if he can really put his nose to the grindstone. Maybe even as a janitor.
Oh, yeah. I know it.
Maybe even starting
ding, ding.
Okay, Gabrus.
Ding, ding.
Chase Bank janitor. Oh, it's Runaway Train.
Yeah, Runaway Train. Very good. God damn of course, it. Manny and Buck are two escapees who get on a runaway train. And as we began our last High and Mighty appearance talking about which one's Manny, which one's Buck.
Buck is Eric Roberts.
We know that only because the impression of Eric Roberts is like Manny.
He's saying Manny.
Yes.
Manny is John Voight.
Yeah.
Who gives an inspirational speech.
And you just ran into a cast member of Runaway Train yesterday.
I did. I ran into Danny Trejo. I was texting these guys. He has such an orbit that like I walked by and was debating, should I even say something? And he just grabbed my hand. He's like, hey, God bless you.
He just could tell by your vibe, by like your like dude. Olive drab jacket and like
I've lost my fucking army jacket.
No.
Yeah.
Oh no.
That's fucking the jacket I picture you in, and those are the jeans I picture Stanger in, by the way. Like and if I
was gonna wear it. I was gonna wear it here. I couldn't fucking find it.
Shit.
Okay. An avalanche of thrills.
Oh yeah.
An avalanche of thrills.
Ooh, that's Gabe, right?
Fucking Gabrus.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Gabrus Cliffhanger 1993. That one's pretty good, I think.
Yeah, that one.
It gives you enough.
Is like, there an avalanche in that movie?
I don't
it doesn't matter.
Think so.
That's why it's poetry.
But that's the thing about taglines. They're sort of like off the just an image of the movie.
Yeah.
They're rarely like.
It evokes Cliffhanger.
Yeah. Like. It's so funny. What's his name in that movie, too?
Gabe,
like,
Walker.
Gabe Walker.
Yeah. Colorado native. Yeah. Gabe Walker.
Gabe Walker.
Hey, hey, I'm from Boulder.
Everybody says,
want some gulp? Yeah, our airport is pretty weird. Everybody says we're so crunchy out here, you know?
Hey,
come on.
When you get a mile high up, man, it gets to you.
Altitude, right? People have been climbing rocks since who knows?
Okay, our next tagline. Where you are the endangered species.
Oh, I know this. There's 200 of these movies and books and stories, right?
Okay, where you are the endangered species.
Oh, wait,
species.
Maybe I have it wrong.
It's from the 90s.
Is it Hard Target?
I think species.
Oh, species.
Is the, it's not species.
Okay.
But I think endangered species is kind of where it's pushing. So animal.
Oh, see, I was going to say, what's the iced tea?
Surviving the game. That's a great guess.
Yeah.
No, this is, it's got an animal who makes frequent appearances on our podcast. She can talk.
Okay.
Oh, Tonga. Amy the Gorilla.
One of our favorite actors, of course, is Amy the Gorilla.
Amy the Gorilla.
The Frank Marshall masterpiece, Congo, based on the Crichton
novel. I hate to name drop, but Amy does frequently make appearances on our podcast.
She is a gorilla that's been trained in sign language and has
talk gloves.
An amazing glove that has been embraced by the deaf community.
It's obviously real tech because everyone is still using it.
Amy, good grief.
Amy does the ads on High and Mighty. Athletic Greens, promo code Mighty.
She has a TikTok like. Android TikTok narrator voice.
Yeah.
Amy loves Audible books.
She got me on to Audible.
Yeah, she got me.
Oh, Athletic Greens, and she drinks green drink. That's her thing. Green drink.
And that, of course, is Athletic Greens. You got to clean them up a little
bit. Yeah. And when she does not mean the olives in a martini. She means Athletic Greens.
Amy loves talk book.
She's, of course, talking about Audible, a wonderful way to listen to books.
Promo code High and Mighty.
Amy saving on supplements by getting all from Athletic Green.
Amy, kill me, please. I do not want to be here anymore.
Amy want to be in jungle.
Help Amy.
High and Mighty Studio, too hot for
Prefer
Amy.
Prefer Congo.
Prefer
where it's cooler
in Africa.
Should we want the jungle?
Okay. This is where I got some good ones for you. These ones all kind of go together.
All bangers so far.
Yeah, because you're course, fucking guessing was, them all.
1995's Congo we were referring to with Dr. Karen Ross and Dr. Peter Elliott.
And what's,
two of our favorites.
Oh, yeah, Peter Elliott, prolific.
Oh, God. Right now I know. I was like, which one? Oh, right, that's why I forgot.
Okay.
Fucking it's, Ernie Hudson.
Laura Linney's the...
Yeah, she's Dr. Great. Karen Ross.
And Ernie Hudson smoking the coolest looking blunt in
Hudson's great. Tim Curry's great. The movie's a fucking disaster.
Okay, here we go. Judge, jury, executioner.
Oh, Judge Dredd?
You're wrong.
God damn.
Yeah. Ooh.
And it was, again, granted, this was a trick question.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
I knew we were going to go straight to Judge Dredd.
All right, it's not Judge Dredd. Is it the jury? How about
Pauly Shore?
Yeah, jury duty with Pauly Shore.
Jury duty?
Is it Dredd? Yeah. Carl Urban.
Okay, hold on, hold on. The judge, the jury, and the executioner. Is it RoboCop? No.
It stars an architect.
Oh, wow. God damn. Is it the first Death Wish?
Death Wish. Death Wish.
Yeah.
Of course, Paul Kersey.
Of course, Paul Kersey.
The great Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson just changing cinema. The ultimate revenge movie.
This is the first time every female member of his family is raped and killed. It will happen to him four more times.
Okay. Now, let me follow this up.
I take issue with jury, though.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah. It's not a jury of your peers. Yeah. One 80-year-old.
Let me take the evidence.
Yeah, even if it's just him, he's not considering anything. Yeah. He just fucking.
Let me debate these things a little bit harder.
In Death Wish 2, when he shoots the purse snatcher in the back with a magnum, it's like a 15-year-old kid who just stole a purse. Like, that is such overreaction.
The verdict is you're dead. I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to shoot you twice. I've weighed the evidence. I'm going to shoot you in the face and you in the back.
I am thirsty.
Okay, here we go. This is a series to trip you guys up.
Okay.
One man is judge, jury, and executioner.
All right, this is either Judge Dredd or Death Wish 2.
Okay, so this is Judge Dredd.
Okay.
Now, clearly, they wanted Judge, Jury, and Executioner, and somebody was like, that's actually Death Wish from 20 years ago.
And people are going to be up in arms.
And they were like, fuck, all right, how about one man is?
Throw down your weapons and prepare to be second.
And the tagline. Yeah. Didn't get there first, guys.
God, Bronson, he's always Bronson.
Okay.
Mr. I am the law.
Here we go. This is the last in the series. First his wife, now his daughter. It's time to even the score.
Oh, wow. So it's definitely another
Death Wish.
Death Wish.
Okay.
It's just a matter of
which Death Wish.
Is it two? Is his daughter right where she jumps out the window like to her
so
death?
Two,
two. Now his daughter.
Yeah,
and so that's what they're selling the movie on. It's like, fuck, he's gonna be real mad when they kill his daughter.
They're selling it like you should check this movie out. His daughter dies,
just like in the lobby of a movie theater, just being like, fuck, all right, I'm there.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting a lot of conservatives who always talk about having daughters and stuff.
I have a daughter.
I have a daughter.
So that's why I am a fucking asshole to everybody on the road. I'm a daughter, so that's why I got an F-350.
I've got
a
daughter.
Against women's rights. Yeah.
And I want to make sure she can't get an abortion.
I have a daughter, and I want to grow up to be subjugated just like the way I treat my wife.
I don't want her to have equal access to health care.
God damn it, I have a daughter. If I have to kill a man in front of her, I will.
Oh, no, they got my daughter. Now they're up. Now I have to even the score.
Right. Evening the score is funny. I'll kill their daughter.
I hope these punks got daughters.
Hopefully it's not a confusing scoring system like tennis or something where you're just like, oh, I don't know.
It's okay. 45 love, Jeff Goldblum.
Larry Fishburne.
Larry Fishburne.
That's when he was Larry.
It's crazy, by the way.
Wait, in Death Wish 3, what's the family situation? He's got a new girlfriend, right? We just did this a couple.
Death Wish 3 is the one where he's with the neighbor. Wait,
he goes. He goes to like a...
Four is the crackdown, which we
four
just
is the
did.
Crackdown we just yeah. said. Three is the one where he
three
goes
is the
to,
one where it's
like
Home Alone and he's
yeah.
like, yeah.
he gets the minigun.
Yeah, he's setting up like traps and like everybody's like sell, like laughing about like yeah. people.
This is where he like ethnically cleanses a neighborhood more or less. Like he comes in and kills every poor person that lives there.
Two is also 1982. And then his age between two and three starts to become apparent. That's yeah. like three is the new chapter in Bronson where it's like, okay, now these are.
Well, and four, he looks full on old, which is kind of fine.
Four, I brought up how much he looks like my grandma. Yeah. yeah. And it's terrifying. Like he looks, if you just shaved him, he
Ben's
would look
grandma is a catfish, for the record.
Spitting image of my grandma.
I didn't get a thank you note this year, Ben.
Yeah.
Ben, what would you like for your birthday? You could have it in wood. You could have it in concrete.
Merry Christmas, grandson.
God, if fucking Bronson was your grandpa, that'd be awesome.
I told you guys
grandma.
That.
Grandma. Grandma's even grandma. Better. Grandma's yeah. saying in real life.
Don't cry. My grandma was great. Great cook. I told you guys.
I've got embarrassing stories about your mom.
F. Marie Abraham, like his kid used to live in my apartment, apparently, shit. Because I got a Christmas card from him. I mean, they must have a weird relationship, but it was the most surreal fucking thing where, because there
from
was
F.
no
Murray?
There was no name on the envelope, it just had my address. So I opened it up and it's like, Merry Christmas, son, from F. Marie Abraham.
That $10,000 check.
He signs his full name. He doesn't say dad.
There was a check in there with his name on it.
Oh, the yeah. check. Wow. How much?
I got his routing number. Let's
I
go,
can't
boys.
Remember, but it was a. I mean, I like gave it to a neighbor who knew. I was like, this is a pretty good check. Yeah. Like, you gotta fucking need
okay. That. Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Van Damme, F. Murray Abraham. Who you got?
Gary's doing a pretty good impression of like the questions we get the most time.
Okay. The fans, the yeah. listeners on our podcast yeah. are always like, Judge Dredd or the judge, who would you rather be judged by?
I'm dying to know who they would want to fuck on air. Schwarzenegger or Van Damme the most? Wow, if we provide 3 or 4
That's
hours
the
of
whale
content.
Writing
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Who would you want to fuck first?
Who do you want to fuck? Shut the camera off.
Who would you want to fuck?
Shut the fucking camera off. Shut the fucking camera off.
Was that in the whale you're referring? There's like he's watching gay porn in the whale.
Yes.
Now
he gets Cuban, right? I don't know. I haven't watched it.
I don't think so. I think he's just watching it. But is
he gets Cuban?
is that like a clip they pulled from an actual porn, or were those actors that
they
like
got paid? They got paid.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do they license it from a previous
license,
porn scene
right,
shot?
Or did Aronofsky stage of like a fake porn scene? And are you telling all your friends like, hey, I booked a fucking job in the whale?
I'm in the new Aronofsky movie. Yeah. I'm on the fat guy's laptop. You know the disgusting pig that everyone yeah. hates?
He's getting off on me.
He jerks off to me.
There's a lot of fucking Oscar buzz around this movie.
I've told this story on the Action Boys before when I went and got coffee and the barista was like, I saw your penis last night. Or she's like, I saw you naked. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, Westworld. I was like, I was an
You're
Westworld.
Yul Brynner, right? Yeah.
And then I went back and I was like, I got to see what the fuck this girl's talking about. And so I turn on Westworld, the show I don't watch. And there's a scene where they go to like the storage unit where all these robots are. And there's a guy just standing like butt ass naked, like with his fucking dick flopping out. And at the time I had a mustache and she must have been like, that's the guy I give coffee to. It was so confident. She said it like it was like nothing. Like I get. I like good for you.
You
man.
Panic. Yeah. She's like, I saw you naked last night. You're like, oh god. Oh, I got to check my DMs.
Saw me in the fucking bushes.
What if you went and watched it and all there was just like a baby getting changed or something? Like, oh, shit. Is that
the fuck? I guess like a little bit in the cheeks. The
baby's not a blonde.
Okay. So here's the baby other kind of. Type of tagline where it just sort of spills out the whole movie.
Okay.
So this one won't be a challenge. But it might be because these movies are hard to
pretty
categorize.
Similar.
I'm going to guess it'll be a challenge regardless for me, but
yeah,
go
well,
ahead.
Well, you'll know.
Talking, listening. These are all challenges.
You'll know who, again, we've run into this issue last time we did this game. You'll know who the actor is, but you won't know what the three-word title of the movie.
Ooh, oh, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's two actors who their movies are kind of all similarly. Well, yeah, we can get into it.
Seagal, yes. Exquisitely
so it's Seagal, yeah. I mean, this is no con. He was a covert agent trained in Vietnam. He has a master 6th degree black belt in Aikido and family in the mafia. He's a cop with an attitude.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I was wrong. I thought it was.
It's Above the Law?
Yeah. Stanger nailed it. It's
that Gino Foligno?
That's Nico.
That's Nico Toscani. There's Gino Foligno, Nico Toscani, yes. And then the
he's Glimmerman. Wearing the beret in this one.
Right. This is the beret one.
Sleeveless beret.
Oh, yeah. This is 1988.
He's got his fucking 12-inch pythons.
Arms
out.
Like a stack of dimes.
He's got his fucking car dealership arms out.
So we're, of course, referring to Seagal has very poor arm definition.
Yes.
And when he runs, he looks particularly crazy.
Yeah. His arms kind of... He started
noodle arms.
What, and he started wearing longs. Like in Hard to Kill, he does like a workout montage.
You gotta watch him run in Hard to Kill. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the hill run.
Yeah, the hill run.
He at least still looks human. This is before he's gone full
Now he's like
Nosferatu.
Shaved Grimace or whatever he's going by. Yeah, he's like Nosferatu.
We talked about how he has a fake V-neck that rivals Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, a fake Widow's Peak.
Widow's Peak, excuse me. V-neck,
fake V-neck. He's got fake skin here. He's got like a dickie, Ricardo Montalban chest piece from the con.
Or like a dickie that's a V-neck. That'd be a fun. Just like.
Okay. Yeah.
His real widow's turtleneck.
Here's
fake
a tough,
V-neck.
Yeah, here's here's a
spray
tough one for you.
Down to here. He's got like fucking.
Yeah, it's full Eddie Munster.
You will believe a duck can talk. You will believe a duck can talk.
So the hardest part of that movie, the buy-in for that movie, is like, do you believe this part of the movie?
Well, they're doing a play on Superman. Superman's tagline was, "You will believe a man can fly."
Oh, okay.
It's a great story because they released the trailer long before the movie was even shot, and it was just they had Brando and they had Gene Hackman. And they just did a shot of clouds, and it was like Marlon Brando, Gene Hackman, "You Will Believe a Man Can Fly."
Oh,
it's great. It's a great
genius
tagline. Now, it's Howard the Duck. Any guesses of what Howard's name is credited as? Howard T. Duck.
Wow, his middle name's the. Yeah, must be your family name.
Yeah. It's Tiberius.
Here's a great one. And this will kind of be a challenge. Nick Parker is quick as a snake, strong as a bull, not to mention blind as a bat.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Blind Fury.
Yeah.
Rutger Hauer.
Yep. Yeah.
His name is Nick Parker.
Yeah,
and
Nick
to put
Parker.
That in the title, like, having not...
That's the other part of taglines I've noticed. Several of them do have the character's name, as though, like, yeah, all right, I like the name. Nick Parker?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of adventures with Nick Parker.
Yeah, because Nick Parker sounds like it could be Michael J. Fox's name from The Hard Way. Like,
yeah, could be anybody.
It could be anybody.
Pretty close, I think.
It is some Nick something, I feel like.
Nick Lang.
Fucking Blind Fury was one of my favorite movies when I was... I used to think, like, if you were blind, you'd be even better at martial arts.
Totally forgettable.
Completely
totally forgettable. We watched it for the podcast.
Somebody interesting directed it.
Is it
Philip Noyce or something? Like, it's somebody... No, that's wrong, but...
Yeah, Movies have fooled us into thinking that, like, if you're blind, you will be superior at martial arts.
Yeah, like Daredevil and all that shit comes together. Yeah. Yeah, and you're like, yeah, if I was blind, I would be able to focus on my art.
Well, hey, fucking straight up Bloodsport or Kickboxer.
Yeah,
there's a lot of blindfolded training.
Okay, I thought you were doing something with your fingers to, like, you kind of landed in that. I thought it was like to explain something.
I thought you were about to do a reference to Blind Fury.
You were just like centering yourself.
I think it was just my body like helping me get Kickboxer and Bloodsport, and I had to do something physical. So I don't say Kickboxer twice. One is Kickboxer, one
blood
is
Bloodboxer and Kickboy.
This is one of the great discoveries from the Action Boys for me. And I think I've been told this recently added to the Criterion collection.
Ooh.
The games, the romance, the spirit. Camelot is a state of mind.
Wow, first night?
Knight Riders.
Oh, Knight Riders. Yes, yes.
Knight Riders, George Romero film that I don't think any of us had seen.
I haven't even heard of it.
This was a Ben pick.
I threw it on just a while. I was like, maybe this will be good for the podcast. We loved it.
We
were really taken by this one.
When you said first night, I was trying to picture that on Criterion, and it's like so funny. It's like extra interviews with Connery and Richard Gere.
Connery be like, I didn't
have to learn how to use a sword at all. I was fucking my best friend's daughter, Arthur, the King of Camelot.
Zucker talking about conservative politics.
Talking about the gauntlet. We built the gauntlet in date. Oh, man. Knight Riders is fun as fuck. It looks dangerous. It looks fun. Opens with, like, a fucking flogging.
It'll haunt you. It's a crazy, weird one. You can't get it out of your mind.
Yeah.
Tom Savini, Jimmy Kahn.
Tom Savini. Ed Harris.
Right?
Ed Harris is Billy. Tom Savini plays the Black Knight. And at one point, he does a photo shoot where he's just kind of like, I think he's in a Speedo in the Burt Reynolds pose.
Mm-hmm.
And
Burt Reynolds on Cosmo.
Is that every gym call it the Burt Reynolds stretch or just mine where like you got to like kind of open up your legs?
Oh, no. That's what they call it?
Yeah. But you can find those on eBay, like if you look up like Tom Savini, because I was trying to find a Tom Savini book, and like there are a lot of those headshots signed by.
He's pretty built in it.
I can't believe they let him use the mace. That's like a big premise of the movie is like Savini wants to use mace in the game, and they're like, you can't use that mace, man. It's too serious.
The cover will fool you. There's more to it than that, and it's like this.
From 1981, and it opposes the vibe of most 80s movies, which are all about like conformity and getting a real job. This one is like, fuck no.
Yeah, it's like what Romero doing is like Robert Altman or something.
If you like motorcycles or you Ren Fairs,
naked people eating pizza.
And just
kind of overlapping dialogue and improv. And
it's like, it's raw as fuck.
Here's a special
cool
one for us.
Okay.
An awesome hero, an invisible villain. Time travel to a distant world. It's going to be a wild weekend.
An awesome hero.
An invisible villain. Time travel to a distant world. It's going to be a wild weekend. Now,
how do you time travel to a distant
world? Well, that is why it's the perfect tagline. Because it doesn't make sense. In the movie, time is part of the subtitle, and I'll give it another read that will give it away. An awesome hero, an invisible villain, time travel to a distant world.
Part two, portal of time?
Through the portal of time. So Gamers very, very smartly picked up on, because they're in another universe.
Yeah.
There's no need for time.
No, there's no time travel.
It could be 1984 Earth years in Zod or wherever the fuck he's from. But instead, because his world is like primitive.
To make you think like that's the path.
Right? Like,
and they're dumb. Like, yeah, back in olden
days.
They're
taglines. They're dumb.
In like past days when you could like talk to animals and shit, people were worshiping the god Ur.
If you guys have never seen it, throw it on for a second. The star of the movie, Mark Singer, looks like fucking the Ultimate Warrior or something with like weird bleached permed hair that we're like, oh, he's just an old guy and he's got crusty hair now or whatever. He's wearing a wig.
That's like the worst choice.
In the special features, it's mind-blowing when they put the wig on.
You're like, that's what you picked for him? It looks like a biker's old lady or something. It's just like a crazy...
It's like a Daytona mom with fat triceps.
If you can read this t-shirt, the Beastmaster fell off. At one point, they drive by a marquee through like downtown Los Angeles that is showing Beastmaster, and Beastmaster does a fucking...
He gets it.
He spikes the camera. Yeah. He does like a double take of like...
Shout out Don Coscarelli, who did send a signed headshot to the Action Boys.
Who has great stories about like the what people making Beastmaster 2 and how he's like disowned it.
Right. Coscarelli, we were talking off mic with Casey about how the William Friedkin memoir is awesome. I did really enjoy the Coscarelli memoir too. It made me go back and watch Phantasm.
Is it True Indie or I think it's called True Indie, yeah.
Really fun fucking
he's got some great story and heartbreaking.
Yeah, you know? Him talking about Phantasm gets a little sad when he's like, and then we're back with the tall man for Phantasm 5. I'm like,
just how close he got on some kind of mainstream stuff too, you know.
Yeah, he's great filmmaker, just never had you could say that Beastmaster was his breakthrough success.
Yeah, he did make loot on Beastmaster.
Even though Singer was a dick to him. A bully.
Yeah, it makes you hate Singer.
It makes you hate Singer.
And because he's nice about it.
Yeah. We do love his cousin or whatever.
Here we go.
Hey, Coscarelli, why don't you get me another espresso? Get the fuck out of here, Mark.
Fuck you. Go to one of your brother's fucking... fucking North Sherman Oaks pool party.
Oh, is his brother Brian Singer?
It's like his cousin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. God, he's hanging out with Roland Emmerich. Yeah. They're doing pool parties.
Come get a few fucking pigs in a blanket from the Action Boys who've been serving at the Brian Singer pool
fucking
party.
Done jack shit for my career.
You see, he's going to come out with a documentary to clear his name.
Oh, yeah, that always works.
Wait.
That'll be a Shadow Wolves episode.
I love these guys who are like, I know what I'll do. I'll film make my way out of this sticky situation.
Just like Spacey's going to act his way. Honestly, if I'm frank, they'll understand.
Yeah. He's got to get him to do the fucking like. Okay, that's our signal to move on.
We're like the Houston Astros. Medium.
This is how
that's
cheat.
Smart. That's how you cheat. Well, those guys want us to do hand signals.
Right? Hey, we're finally doing it, you fucking pricks.
This is your brain. This is your drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Every 80s and 90s kid remembers this iconic ad. Me especially, because my childhood best friend's uncle was the copywriter and art director behind that ad. It depicted a very nerdy-looking dad holding an egg beside a frying pan, breaking the egg, plopping the egg in a piping hot oil, then holding a fried egg in front of the camera with a very serious look on his face. Any questions? Yes, many. All right? Schedule 35 is removing the stigma around drugs, particularly magic mushrooms, with precisely measured out microdoses of psilocybin that you can enjoy daily, experiencing all the benefits of microdosing without frying your brain. Look, there's an emerging movement around psilocybin, and it's proven to help with mental health, PTSD, anxiety, and depression. It creates new neural networks in the brain, which can help boost focus, creativity, mood enhancement, and fight. I'm sure you've heard people talking about microdosing. Like, I'm sure one of your friends is like, yeah, I've been microdosing, and it's great. Well, Schedule 35 will set you up with that. They ship all across Canada and U.S., and they you can head right over to schedule35.co and use coupon code MIGHTY to get 15% off. That's schedule35.co, and you get 50% off with code MIGHTY. Look, they measure every dose, they verify the age, they ship discreetly, and they give you the microdosing regimen. You know, it takes out all, you don't have to worry, you don't have to call like your weird cousin and to help get info on the magic mushrooms. You know, treat yourself to a little microdosing regimen. Schedule35.co, promo code MIGHTY.
Here's another way this is done. You put the actor's name in the tagline.
Ooh, okay.
Chuck Norris is John T. Booker, and Booker is fighting back.
Now, let's take a
this
moment.
This is hard.
Let's
this
take
is
a moment.
Weirdly fucking hard.
Because we referenced Seagal, how many of his movies are three-word titles.
Yeah.
Chuck's storylines are all pretty similar. It's like a guy who knows martial arts, and he's a cop. Or he's a sheriff, or he's a soldier.
They're all
soldier.
The fucking same.
Yeah, they're all the same.
He takes incredible risks as an actor, though, and plays them wildly different. So you can...
And of course, John T. Booker is no exception. One of his memorable characters.
Oh, yeah. John T. Booker.
Really specific quirks.
Yeah, so you can, like, differentiate. You're like, oh, that's where he was the...
Oh, that's where he had the full beard.
Yeah, yeah. Talk like... that's where he, you know, talked in clipping, you know, monotones.
Any wild swings? I mean, this is almost impossible. You just...
The Octagon.
Okay, no.
Okay.
It's 1978, if that helps at all. Which doesn't. Like, no. His, even the timeline of his movies is hard.
Because
the quality is so shitty.
Yeah, like his 88 movies are shot on, like, they look like
the
they're in 70s.
The same film stock from 19... It's the same fucking scratched up, shitty tape.
And he's, like, one of those guys who didn't age in a 10-year span because he looked, like, preternaturally kind of old when he first started.
He looked the same forever. Yeah. Like, yeah. Even now, he's still kind of
he wears,
looks...
like, a wig to try to keep his, like, look going. He's 90 years old. He's got, like, a fucking horrific... like wig that looks like he chops it himself. Like, you, I gotta trim this a little bit.
The beard looks incredibly natural.
They're
though.
Pushing his water hard lately, by the way.
I just drank my last C-Force the other day.
He's in
fucking
new...
instantly vasectomized. My vas deferens is rattled from it.
He's a new clickbaity kind of like ad like stuff where I see stuff now, and it used to be like Frankie Muniz or like Brendan Fraser, where it's like now it's Chuck Norris. It's like, why Chuck Norris does this every day?
Yeah. Why Chuck Norris?
What were some of the Frankie Muniz ones?
It was like you won't believe what happened to this actor, shit like that.
Like the stuff that's in like the AI articles that are in like the bottom of other like
Malcolm's on the bottom.
Stuff like my mom will send me every once in a while.
Did you hear Malcolm from Malcolm in the Middle? You won't believe what he looks like now. I have to go.
I know him from
You won't believe how beautiful this man's daughters are now.
Merry Christmas. Who's John T. Booker?
Good Guys Wear Black.
Oh my God. Yes. And now that whole movie just washed back over me. This is the movie where they wear black for one scene in the movie. And it's the one that's weirdly, the audio is so fucked up for like the first.
Yeah, there's almost no black in the movie.
This is the one where he has the chick over his house and he makes like one egg and a canned oyster and a salmon, a frozen tilapia fillet or whatever.
That's all he's got in the fridge.
The Oddest Couple Ever Unleashed.
Ooh.
Now, this is a good one. If you really break it down, I think you're going to be able to figure it out.
I know it.
Is it Tango and Cash?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I thought I knew. I thought it was going to be Turner and Hooch.
Yeah. Turner and Hooch.
It is.
It's Turner and Hooch.
Yeah, Unleashed. That's
Unleashed,
what yeah. That hit me.
Oddest Couple, you know it's two of them. Unleashed is the real giveaway.
Tango and Cash is a fucking good guess, but Unleashed is a
Tango. Tango Cash, Turner Hooch.
Turner Hooch.
Henry Winkler, unfortunately, unleashed from that movie. Fired by Tom Hanks.
America's uncle and America's grandpa.
He said I wasn't getting it done.
He told me I was dead in the eyes.
I'm going to do a podcast about it. 40 episodes.
What's his quote? Like, I preferred working with Hooch.
Yeah.
Roscoe, I think, is the dog's real name.
We looked it up. We talked about it last High and Mighty. It's Beasley.
This is the most Action Boys conversation ever. We actually talked about the dog, the actor
we looked dog it up. From Turner and Hooch. There's multiple ones, but the hero dog.
The hero dog is Beasley, and the stunt dog is Igor. We looked all this up before.
Where else can you get these fucking facts, folks?
I mean, if that's not a fucking like reason to tune in.
He's the ultimate killer. She's the perfect weapon. He's the ultimate killer. She's the perfect weapon.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's a sequel.
Okay. American Ninja 2?
Very close. It's Ninjavember. It's not American Ninja.
It's the other ninja movies.
It's
with the
Ninja 3,
Ninja 3.
The Dominion.
The Dominion, it's a complete departure. They had like a brand that kind of worked.
Ninja sold a lot of tickets, so they like just like, and this woman gets haunted by a ninja. This is the one where the ninja has a cave lair that's full of like neon lighting.
Yeah, he's got like
He's got to possess a woman who works on the phone lines.
Yeah,
on the phone lines. He's got to possess her to access his like magical ninja cave.
Two moments in the movie are washing over me right now that I remember loving. The entire golf course, like 14-minute action sequence happens on the golf course. So rad. But then when she's like all sexually wound up and she pours VHUs all over her. Yes.
The golf stuff hits big
time. It's impossible to not think of that movie if you see a can of V8.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... On a plane, I'm hard as a rock thinking about Ninja 3 The Dominion.
The sex scene where the guy fucking Gwildors some V8 off. Yeah.
Keep your boners great when you think about V8 from American or from Ninja 3.
I can't believe I forgot to do Masters of the Universe.
I was going
to
say the golf stuff hits different now with DJ Khaled's golf content on Instagram. Let's go golf!
Yeah. It hits different since Liv golfing. Since the Saudis. Yeah. No ninjas on our course.
The Saudis
no women
are allowing,
ninjas. Yeah, yeah. They don't like
they don't
ninja
want
three.
Women. Yeah.
Now, would they stand if it was a woman possessed by a man?
Ooh, that's good.
Oh, that's good.
Because women are a man's possession. So
that's,
like that.
That's the loophole. They really like it.
They hate V8, though.
Here's one for Gabers. One shot, one kill. No exceptions.
Fuck. Gotta
one
be.
Shot.
Sniper.
Yeah.
Sniper, 1993.
One of my favorites. Behringer.
Tom Behringer,
Zane.
Billy
pretty
Zane.
Pretty good tagline.
It's great.
They killed his wife 10 years ago. There's still time to save her. Murder is forever. Until now.
Time cop.
Yeah. We're fucking in the zone now, boys. JCVD plays Walker.
Not to be confused with Gabe Walker.
No. It's a popular movie. There's a lot of overlap. We covered it last episode.
Just a normal American guy that can travel in time to fight crime.
I am a guy named Walker.
I'm a guy from the Midwest.
I grew up in St. Louis.
There was a convent of French nuns who lived in the Midwest of America, and now I'm an American like you.
I practiced French with my grandma. She looked like Charles Bronson.
I spent the summer in Montreal.
lazy excuses explaining away his
here's
a, Belgian
well, it's
accent.
Funny that,
here's an interesting one.
Sorry, something I'm just unpacking on Van Damme real quick is he broke in America with like not great English doing martial arts. Mm. There are countless Asian actors that do better martial arts, are better actors, but because of they're just not white.
Yeah, don't underestimate the racism over
right,
here.
Right. It doesn't matter. It's not
like
about
Chuck
language.
Norris has a
it's
fucking
not about,
career.
Yeah, it's just about skin.
Chuck Norris has done 4,000 movies, and Bruce Lee has done like one American studio film.
Yeah, we got to get Bruce in a couple more movies.
Okay, well, maybe this will be a good one for you guys. No fear, no stuntman, no equal.
Oh, Hooper.
No, Police Story.
Close.
Oh, is it Jackie Chan? Mm-hmm. Rumble in the Bronx?
Yep. Rumble in the Bronx. Yeah. Nice segue,
so that's,
Gabrus.
So that's pulling, you know, what we know about Jackie Chan as an actor.
Yeah, there's a little meta commentary.
Yeah,
that's smart, though. That's,
yeah, well, because that was his intro to America. Failed.
Right. As it should. Rumble in the Bronx.
Bad movie.
Amazing scenes in a terrible movie.
They missed the mark.
Yeah.
it's a tragedy.
Could have just taken any of his other movies.
They could have just done Super Cop and moved
absolutely.
It over to this country. I mean, they eventually did with, like, Rush Hour, like they figured it out.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting that I referenced Hooper though, because famously he did get the idea for showing his stunts at the end from Smoking the Bandit movies.
Oh yeah.
He liked the ad-libs that they showed.
That's the best part of a Jackie Chan movie. I mean, they're so fucking exciting. And then when you watch at the end, it's like, oh no, he broke his hips 3 times on that fucking stunt.
You watch him fall through a glass window in a mall, you're like, fuck, he fucking did that shit?
Jesus. Here's one that just sums up the whole fucking movie. Police Captain Ivan Danko came from behind the Iron Curtain to the streets
Red
of
heat.
Chicago, hunting down his country's deadliest criminal. Now Danko's about to team up with the city's most unpredictable lawman.
Wow. Could you imagine just sitting at the fucking poster being like, all right, yeah.
Oh, Danko's back.
Danko's in Chicago now? All right.
I wonder who
somebody unpredictable.
I wonder who Jim Belushi is going to be in this.
Yeah, you're reading this. Which one is Arnold? Which one's Belushi?
God, if they remade the movie and they switched roles, I would fucking love
Belushi
it.
Belushi plays a Russian guy?
Yeah.
He could do it.
Belushi seems more like a fucking Russian dude to me than
the Austrian.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't be more Austrian than that. He just has like a taller flat top to make him Russian, I guess.
I think this is a really challenging one, I thought.
Does that movie, Red Heat open with the cool sauna steam
room? Yeah, it's great.
I could fucking crank it to that every day.
Let's see if we can get this one. Sometimes the only way to uphold justice is to break the law.
Ooh.
Sometime the only way to uphold justice is to break the law.
We said above the law already.
I would say what's tricky about this is it's not the genre you think it is.
Ooh, okay.
Say it again. Sorry, Ben.
Sometimes the only way to uphold justice is to break the law. So someone who breaks the law, an outlaw. Not.
So it could be a Western.
Could be a Western. It's not.
Okay.
But it's you're getting in the right direction. It's in the past, in Europe. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh my God.
That one's tough.
Oh, that feels crazy. I guess you don't need to stress about a tagline on a movie Robin Hood.
Yeah, I think they're purposely trying to make it sound more like a cop movie.
Right, yeah, they're trying to sell. Man, that movie fucking rules. I fucking love Prince of Thieves so hard.
It's not a job, it's an adventure.
Oh.
Navy.
Oh, it's not Navy SEALs.
It's not Navy SEALs, but it takes place. Everybody's involved as Navy, including
Hunt for Red October.
No.
Oh, wait. Say it again.
It's not a job. It's an adventure.
Is it Top Gun?
No.
No.
But we're very close.
Iron Eagle?
No.
No, because they're Air Force in that, right?
Yeah. It's our main. It's
naval.
One of our main guys is the star. It's a two-word title.
Oh, Under Siege.
Under Siege.
Oh, damn.
God damn.
It's the cook.
Damn, Casey Ryback. Fucking Ryback.
I would say
cue ball.
They're underselling it.
Right.
They're way underselling it.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like shitty Navy SEALs, or you know.
Right, like, and it's like this is a movie about Tommy Lee Jones as a terrorist who takes over a fucking ship, automatic, semi-automatic.
How would you know if someone stole your mind?
Total Recall?
Yeah, that's a good one, right?
That is
that's
a good
a great one.
Here's a good one.
I was literally going to answer that question. Like, the rest of the game, I was like, I guess if they had memories.
I don't fucking know. They'd get me. I'd be fucked. Is there an answer?
They got it now, man.
The Deadly Art of Illusion.
FX.
FX2.
FX?
Well, that's weird because he's no longer in two. He's a toy designer.
Yeah, well, the problem with FX1 is it's another one of these. It's like, Raleigh Tyler is the top FX man. It's like one of the
it's
ones.
It's one of the ones where it's the log line is the tagline, more or less.
You want a big explosion?
Oi, it's Bluey. You operate it with a telemetry suit.
Yeah, here's the
National
Australian
treasure.
Here's another dead giveaway. Dalton lives like he
Roadhouse.
He's got his philosophy degree from NYU.
Dalton lives like a loner, fights like a professional, and loves like there's no tomorrow.
That's
wow.
Great.
Yeah, that's good, awesome. Right?
That's great.
Oh, man.
Hey, did you guys see, so Gyllenhaal is doing...
The Roadhouse on Paramount?
Roadhouse, yeah, with fucking...
Gyllenhaal?
Whatever his name is. I go hard, G, dude. He's doing that. Who's the director? It's Doug Liman.
Liman,
yeah.
And he did a UFC thing where he did like a fake weigh-in and jumped out there, and he's kind of getting dragged on Instagram for it.
He looks pretty shredded.
He looks shredded. Yeah. I didn't.
He's like 40 years old.
Yeah,
it's that drives me crazy that they're remake like that. Of all the shit that you're like remaking, you could just make another movie about bouncers. Like this movie is like
people
it's so
know,
singular.
People know Roadhouse, so we'll call it.
And
that.
I'm not just mad because I auditioned for like a heavy in it and didn't get it. Like that was infuriating to me.
Okay, here's one for Stanger. She's a girl from the big city. He's a reckless soldier of fortune. For a fabulous treasure, they share an adventure
Romancing the Stone.
One could imagine or survive. Romancing the Stone, 1984.
It.
A little heavy.
Yeah.
They could have caught maybe a sentence off of that.
Right. A little wordy, yeah.
Here's one for all of us. This is very simple. The last man alive is not alone.
Omega Man.
Omega Man.
Hello? Colonel Neville.
It's me, Charlton Heston. He plays Colonel Neville.
Dr. Colonel Neville.
And it's
Dr. Colonel Neville King Jr.
Well cast because we've learned through doing this podcast, Heston is one of the all-time great monologists out there.
Oh, yeah. And giving him
the whole movie, he's just talking to himself.
Give him busy work and let him narrate it, and you're set.
Well, another 4-minute mile. Which we couldn't, was like, did he, was he just like making his own records up, or did he really run?
Was he making a gag about like I'm old and can't run? Yeah. Or was he like, are we supposed to believe?
I think we're supposed to believe, because he's shirtless in a lot of the movie. He's
proud of
himself.
He looks awesome. Yeah.
He's proud of
him. He looks awesome for a 60-year-old guy who lives alone.
Mm.
Also, where did we read about how somebody needed something and he jogged down the beach to get it?
That was that in Planet of the Apes? Yeah. One of the, like, the people monkeys and needed a straw to drink or something.
Yeah, the people wearing the prosthetics for their makeup.
Cornelius.
Like,
or
yeah. Roddy McDowell, like, couldn't fucking get the soup down. And so Heston's like, I'll jog and get it.
I'll jog and get my gun. I have to get my gun anyway.
You could take this straw from my dead hands.
I have a suit that I bought from a prop store that has C. Heston in the label, and these guys don't think it's real. They think that I got.
I'm not even. This is the first I'm hearing about it. Or if I lied the last time.
I mean, I think the imaginary us that lives in your mind is like definitely.
Is this the first you're hearing about it?
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Oh, okay, yeah. So maybe.
But it does. I mean, I like this theory. I don't remember telling you, but I love the idea of like just a fucking place being like just this fucking bullshit. We charge whatever we
put
want.
Put an extra $40 bucks on it and say,
yeah. This is a real fucking Russian jacket that Ivan Danko wore.
Well, he's
I'll pay any price.
Heston's not small, right? He's like a tall guy.
It was weird. It was like I had to get it altered, and there was like weird, real specific, like one shoulder pad bigger than the other, like all that kind of shit. Okay. I ended up having to kind of lose the jacket. It was a brown suit that had a vest, like a cool three-piece suit, and the jacket never quite worked, but the pants and the vest worked. And I don't know if I still have it, but I saved it forever because it had Heston in there and it looked distressed. Like it looked old.
That'd be really funny if he didn't own the suit, but it was when he briefly launched a suit company.
Where's my new CS?
Get your Heston Vestin.
They even you out when you have a harness on. My one shoulder goes down because of my heavy gun.
I did wear it and run a 4-minute mile, though, which is pretty fucking cool.
This is such a shitty tagline. I had to write it down. How are we doing on time?
We're great.
We got time.
Lots of action, lots of bullets.
Wow. Now, this could be about 40% of the movies.
Yeah, Matrix.
God, weirdly kind of close, I guess, in that it's a set in the future dystopia.
Oh, a lot of bullets in the future.
It's a world where someone could easily have the name Hunts's Ketchup.
Oh, wow. Medicine Man? Or no, not Medicine Man. What am I thinking of? Marble,
Harley Davidson and the Marble Roman.
Yeah.
Harley Davidson and the Medicine Man.
What are you doing with that motorcycle out here in the jungle? The motorcycle could swim up your pee hole.
As an undercover cop, he's in a class by himself.
Kindergarten cop.
Yes. It's not the fall that kills you. Which one is it, guys?
Is it Terminal Velocity or Drop Zone?
Mm-hmm. Take your guess.
Drop Zone.
Nope.
I'm gonna guess.
Drop Medicine Zone.
Man. Marvelous.
Stanger's going. I'm gonna go with Medicine Man again.
We haven't done.
Taking crime to new heights.
Terminal Velocity.
No, man.
Drop Zone.
Drop Zone. I'm gonna guess Terminal Velocity.
Drop Zone is Snipes. Terminal Velocity is Sheen.
Yes.
All right.
Here's a bad one.
Which one do we like more? That's a fun.
I like Drop Zone more.
We should do a professional debate over which movie is better.
I can't remember where we landed.
I feel like I like Drop Zone more in my head, but I think that's because anything with Snipes just sizzles for me.
Terminal Velocity is like Sheen has a factor that he adds to every movie that make him fun somehow.
Yeah.
There's more memorable shit, like her coming into his office, him like in the stupid suit going to like the fucking little kid birthday party.
Oh, yeah, right, like, land at the party in the beginning.
But it's the wrong place. But Drop Zone I like because like Busey's kind of fun in that one, and there's some good.
There's the bald dude who we theorized
Because he's in Cliffhanger.
He's in Cliffhanger where he's also parachuting, and we're like, could he? Like, Gabrus was convinced this guy could really.
This guy was a skydiver first, and then became an actor. And I'm like, this is classic Gabrus. Like, I wrote a full fucking narrative for a fucking character who has no lines.
He's excellent in Cliffhanger. It's like the, I just want my fucking money.
Here's one that weirdly works because it's a mess of a tagline and it's a mess of a movie. It's going to take a dead man to save the country, .. from a death merchant's dream of destruction.
Wow.
It's going to take a dead man to save the country from a death merchant's dream of destruction.
Is it Universal Soldier?
No, it is the...
Marlboro Man?
It is the start of a franchise that never went anywhere based on books.
Oh, Remo Williams?
Remo Williams.
Yeah, oh, The Adventure Begins.
Oh my, calling your movie The Adventure Begins is such a fun
movie. The Destroyer novel series, there's 8,000 books.
Yeah, multiple writers, they just never stop.
They're like, choose your own adventure.
Every couple of years,
what maybe hamstrings that movie a little bit, makes it a little dated. Is there any part of that movie?
Oscar winner Joel Grey playing a Korean guy in it.
I explained to one of my friends who like knows Joel Grey from Broadway. I was like, have you ever seen Remo Williams? First off, I was dumb enough to be like, well, you know who Joel Grey is? She's like, yeah. He's a very famous Broadway actor. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Have you ever seen him portray a Korean, an old magical Korean man in Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins?
Teaches Fred Ward how to run across water. Laquasse, god damn it, it was funny.
Laquasse. He runs across Laquasse.
Laquasse.
When you have an attitude, who needs experience? This is a good one.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, when you have an attitude, who needs experience?
Is it, okay, I'm going to guess, is it Cuffs?
Cuffs.
Ah, yeah.
I was trying to sell it to you with my face.
Well, I just like it. We haven't talked about Cuffs in about 59 minutes, so it had to be.
When you have experience, who needs an? Who needs experience? Fuck, I fucked it up.
No, that's good.
Finally, one
Don't
for
worry.
Ben.
You're safe. I got a quass.
It's so. Time for action.
Time.
It's time for action.
Oh, Action Jackson.
Action Jackson.
Oh, man.
There's
a movie I love, but I couldn't place one scene from the movie in my head.
Oh,
right
come
now.
On. Craig T. Nelson. Doing
the kickboxing, yeah. The high kick, the weirdly.
Yeah, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
So the set piece at the end when Action Jackson finally faces the evil rich
played by
villain.
Carl Weathers.
At the peak of his condition.
He looks incredible. And the bad guy is Coach Craig T. Nelson. And they do this thing where it's like, I believe it's a point of view shot. So you're looking right at Carl Weathers and they're, you cut back to Craig T. Nelson and he can't do kicks.
He's playing a kickboxing guy.
And, yeah, because they show him training earlier in the movie. Like he's a billionaire that like has a martial arts coach.
The legs come, so like if the frame is here, his legs come up like into screen like this.
Yeah, like in a way that would be physically impossible. They're clearly sneakers on sticks.
It looks like Wayne's World 2, you know, like when he has like a fake kung fu fight and like the guy knocks on the door.
It looks like Jiminy Glick.
Here's
the way his like little legs.
Here's the
it looks like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Here's the expanded tagline. Name, Jericho Jackson. Nickname, Action. Home, Detroit. Profession, cop. Education, Harvard Law. Hobby, fighting crime. Weapon, you're looking at him.
Oh, that's cool. I forgot that he was a Harvard grad in the movie, too.
He's a Harvard grad, but only a high school track star. We did laugh because they give him all this backstory, like, God damn it, you're a goddamn Harvard grad, high school junior varsity track star.
It's like, could have easily been ran just, track at Harvard.
Or just make him run in the fucking Olympics if you're going
fucking, it's a movie.
Fucking take something from Colonel Dr. Neville. Just give him everything.
Give him another title. Yeah. Reverend Dr. Colonel Neville.
And I run a 4-minute mile.
One time you beat 3 kids in preschool in a track meet.
I'm not going to do the voice because it'll give it away. This is where the law stops and I start. Run it through your head in the many accents and vocal tics of our favorite actors. And then pick which one sounds the right to you.
This is where the law stops?
This is where the law stops and I start. And it works because it kind of makes no sense at all.
Is it Cobra?
You got it. Cobra.
This is where the law stops and I start.
It's because it really is. It is a Zombie slight squad. Variation on you're the disease yes. and I'm the yep. cure. It's like pretty much that. Yeah.
This is where I cut the crust off the pizza, you know?
I use a scissor.
The year is 2019. The finest men in America don't run for president. They run for their lives.
Running Man?
Running Man. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, wow, that's great.
That is awesome. And I forgot that movie takes place in 2019. That's fucking awesome.
What's his name in that? The Butcher of Bakersfield.
Ben Richards.
Ben Richards. That's
yeah, it's easy for me to remember because it's so close to my name.
Ben Richards, Ben Run.
Killian.
The cut of like where they made him look like the bad guy is the funniest thing yeah. ever.
It's like when they make Simpson Homer like yeah. grease for the Venus de Milo yeah. on the girl's ass or whatever.
He's chopping up like I did it.
Yeah. Wait, this also for listeners, we should just call out the screen grab of the first rattle off of the credits at this movie. The Running Man just has
yes,
the
we
best.
Went through it on our High and Mighty episode. We went through it. It's like. Because all
this
the actors, Ben's, are, it's
Ben
all,
sent this to us before we started the podcast.
It's, yeah. it's all kind of actors you know or who are just interesting, like fucking Dweezil Zappa, for example,
right.
or Mick Fleetwood. So like even all the cast,
the character names are bananas,
and then all
and the, then
actors, the
actual real
like
names of the
Kodo,
and some Tanaka, professional wrestlers.
Yeah, Professor Tanaka, Jeff, Jesse the Body Ventura, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Here's a tough one,
and it's also directed by Starsky from Starsky.
Can you guys, we had this exact conversation last time we talked about it. Al Pacino is cruising for a killer. Name the movie.
That tagline is too long, too boring. You get into the rants and the same stories over and over.
Here's
again.
One that's almost fucking impossible. Cunning, devious, dangerous, treacherous. Cunning, devious, dangerous, treacherous. I guess the only thing that I could do that could maybe help is think of each of those as a different person, but they're all the same character.
Ooh, the Saint.
Yes.
damn, Simon Templar.
Bruno.
A
poet. My name is Bruno Huffenpuff. Yeah. The original Bruno.
I'm Augustus.
Oh, here's one for Stagger.
Damn,
he fucking keeps the wad of cash in his leather pants. So awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got a couple good ones for you. Hell hath no fury like a composite of 183 serial killers. Meet Sid 6.7.
Oh, yeah. Virtuosity.
We talked about this a lot, but when they're scanning the names that go into, that they pull there, like it's got like Hitler and fucking Pol Pot and stuff. It's like, what the fuck do we need that to make the ultimate serial killer? It's got like weird dictator. It's like Imi Anand and all those people. It's so fucking funny. Like where the movie is like
Jerry
this guy's,
Jones.
This guy's got built a little
Hunter Biden.
Rick Caruso?
Yeah. What most people call hell, he calls home. One of the best ones.
Yeah. Rambo 2.
That's Rambo First Blood Part 2, 1985.
Ugh, that's a
what most people call hell, he calls home.
That's Trauman's line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eat things that make a billy goat puke. That's from the first one, but that's the one I remember. He's trained to live off the land. Eat things that would make a billy
no
goat
gun, puke. No gun, no knife, no equal.
Oh.
What are those? No gun, no knife. What are those things?
Weapons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the perfect weapon?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Speakman.
Jeff Speakman. Who fucking was supposed to come to our first live show.
Oh, yeah.
And he just, like, day of was like, I can't make
He's
it.
He's like, oh, it's in person or whatever. I'm like, yeah.
Jeff Passman.
who Howard Stern famously, we loved the perfect weapon in our house. I think my dad liked the martial arts movie about the lanky white guy in jeans. So, and a leather and a bad leather jacket for some reason. And we also loved Howard in the house. And when Perfect Weapon came out, Howard Stern kept referring to Jeff Speakman as the kicking Jew. And it was like the funniest fucking thing in our house. We were like, it like ruined the movie for my dad. He was like, oh.
Drugs, sex, and murder. This gang was game for anything till they met a cop who'd stop at nothing. Drugs, sex, and murder.
Drugs, sex, and murder. Cops. So
this gang.
It sounds, I mean, I want to say.
You know, also was game. I think that is maybe an allusion to.
I was going
to
say it's Stone Cold.
It's Stone Cold.
Yeah, that
wow. was. Joe Huff.
God, good pulse. The only thing I can place about this movie is that he has a Komodo dragon and makes a weird smoothie.
Yeah.
First, and that's the first that's 2 minutes credits. Of the movie.
Opening credits.
Can't be a stud if you don't eat your grub.
Unarmed and extremely dangerous.
Extremely dangerous. Also, his dragon's name is Fido in that.
This cool stuff. This
I'm kind of mimicking my new style off the Boz.
Yes, I was so going to bring
should,
it up.
I should like dive in a little bit. I should like do a little more Boz research.
Yeah.
Get he's into steroids.
Got, I think he's got... the shape of his fade is a little bit different than
yeah,
yours.
He does like yeah. the kind of like, he has like the Christmas tree kind of
he
look.
He has to go, when he was playing, you're like when he was playing football at Oklahoma, and then in that movie, he's got a pass for biker, so it's a little more.
Yeah, it's not like Florida mullet. And
yeah,
it's more
he's got to
like,
be John Stone, the biker. He's Joe Huff as a police officer. Hey, Stone, man. Stone's here,
is
man.
Is this the one where Lance Hendrickson it gets set on fire and
that's
like,
Hard Target.
Oh, that's Hard Target. And yeah. they're like, yeah, he really set on fire. And like, clearly he's got like gel on his neck and shit.
Yeah. Somebody had to like, just step in and say like, no, this is a fucking giant studio movie.
Yeah, we wouldn't set any actor on fire, no less Lance Henriksen, or else we'd have to bring in Gary Graham.
Okay. Can you guys figure this one
Gary
out?
Gary Graham is Lance Henriksen after Set on Fire.
It's a Robot Jocks reference, the star of Robot Jocks,
an upcoming movie that we're doing on Action Boys. Unarmed and extremely dangerous.
I love
this,
that one.
This is a reference to Jake Lowe.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow. Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Very good. Yeah, Brandon Lee.
Marlboro Man.
So Brandon Lee, two big movies, right? Like, that we really enjoyed. Showdown, Little Tokyo, and Rapid
People
Fire.
People would argue The Crow. I don't know how much necessarily love The Crow.
I liked The Crow, but I don't. I think the other movies are more fun to me.
I like, you get to see him better in the other ones. Yeah.
I liked Rapid Fire. Showdown in Little Tokyo, bad tagline, if I remember correctly. Or just like explain too much of the movie, kind of
it's
boring.
Tokyo, but yeah. Little.
These two cops. If there's a mission that no man could survive, then he's the man for the job. One of our great action actors.
Is it Braddock? Is it Missing in Action?
This is Commando.
Oh, wow. John
shit.
Matrix?
John Matrix.
Yeah, Matrix.
Matrix.
John, I can beat you, John.
I think that's one of my favorites of all time is fucking Commando. It just has everything I want in it. I think the best of gearing up montages. It's Rambo, of course, like Rambo 2, like one of the best, I think.
Now, I can't remember the director's work, but you liked it more than Lowdown Dirty Shame?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Because they do have dueling scenes of like our hero preparing.
But this is where he just bicks his head.
Yeah. He bicks his head, puts on like little tiny like John Lennon sunglasses.
Now
and
I look
Nehru
good.
Color.
I shaved my head.
He puts on like Gary Oldman in fucking Dracula glasses.
Fucking second, mark it off again. Can't believe we dropped Dracula again.
My name is Dracula.
I'll end on a couple of good ones.
Dude, how fucking scary was that armor that he wore? Right?
Designed what by, was... what the fuck was the designer's
Giorgio
name?
Giorgio Armani.
Is it? It's one of the big names, right? It is.
His battle to save the Alaskan wilderness and protect its people can only be won. ..
It's Seagal. Is it On Deadly Ground?
Yes. Or is it Fire Down Below?
It's On Deadly Ground. Yeah, now, for bonus points, can you name his character? It's a great name.
Oh, God.
It's probably like Dennis Proudfoot or something.
Close. Forrest Taft.
His first name is Forrest, and he's like an environmentalist. Yeah,
it's great.
This is a good
Fire
one.
Down Below is the where he works for the EPA.
It's Michael Caine.
Yes. Yeah, that's no. Michael Caine's in On Deadly Ground.
On Deadly Ground. Okay.
On Deadly Ground is the oil. Fire Down Below is the mining.
Yeah, it's where they're like dumping sewage and shit in the mines.
This is it. And Fire Down Below is where he wears the leather jacket and is a handyman.
Harry Dean Stanton and what's his name from the band?
Oh, from the band.
Levon Helm.
Like, that's right.
Like, clearly you just want a guy to like play guitar with.
Yeah, and he actually plays guitar in the movie. Like, hey, why don't you get up on stage and play?
Yeah, well, you're from the EPA. Why don't you get up there and play guitar?
Here's a good one to end on, and it keeps us with Seagal. He's LA's Detective Mason Storm. Three hired assassins left him for dead. He's waited 7 years to even the score.
You could take that to the bank, the blood bank.
A lot of score evening.
Yeah.
Right, because it was like the time of like, well, we can't just have these guys be raw killers. They have to be like...
There's got
to
be a reason.
There's got to be a reason why they just murder an entire nationality in a section of neighborhood or whatever. For the Seagal movies.
The bank, Senator. The blood bank.
Go down to Chinatown and get me some of these herbs.
This is, of course, where he met his ex-wife, Kelly LeBrock.
Oh.
She calls the movie hard to watch.
I disagree.
Like hard to watch.
Yeah. I disagree. I think it's an easy watch.
I think it's one of the better Seagal.
Absolutely.
It's a fucking blast.
It's incredible.
It's top, yeah. It's up there. It's top five, right?
I need you to go down to Chinatown. I think it's like...
It's top three. Like
I think it's like Under Siege is better than this.
I think it's Under Siege, then it's Hard to Kill, then it's a toss-up between Gino and Nico, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, then those other
Out for Justice and Above the Law.
I think Above the Law is the one in Chicago, right?
With the dog? With Caraggio? He gives a kid a German Shepherd puppy.
I named him Caraggio.
Italian for courage. How's your mother doing? Since I got her off the street and I didn't molest her, I didn't sexually assault her.
Hey, you going back to school? All these guys got to inspire everybody to like change their lives.
They're good guys. His beard when he wakes up from the coma and Hard to Kill looks like what Chuck Norris is trying to do now.
Did you do this to me?
His beard and Hard to Kill. There's like a shot.
Bizarre.
I have like it's on my phone, just a screenshot. Oh, yeah, that's the one. It might like come up when you call or something because it's so familiar to me. It's just Seagal in bed like this with like weird fake, like wizard beard on.
Yeah, they gave him a long beard in that. And that's got a great, we love training montages on this podcast. That is a great like, revitalize and get back to like your fighting shape where he has Kelly LeBrock go to Chinatown to pick him up some herbs and needles.
So he can do acupuncture on himself.
He does the acupuncture with the incense on it so he can get into like the lotus position and fucking like be smoking.
Weirdly enough, Kelly LeBrock luckily has a dojo at her house that she's hiding him out.
She has
like an all wood room. Yeah.
And so his big, let's try to remember the elements of his training montage. It's the wooden board that's in the ground with the rope on it that he punches and eventually breaks.
Yeah, we've seen it in a lot of martial arts movies.
Hill sprints.
Oh, yeah.
There's lat pull downs on a machine on a Nautilus in there. Like, I got to get back out there.
Yeah, I mean, for a while, that was pretty much all you could do to show somebody training in a movie was lat pull downs or like hamstring curls or dips, we've noticed.
Yeah.
Really ever step outside of
sometimes
like.
Sometimes they'll do
a pec deck.
Just a press.
Oh, like Eugene will hit the pec deck.
Blue steel.
Blue steel.
Yeah. Really light pec deck.
Well, he's fucking going crazy.
He's like 5'4".
Blue Steel, if memory serves me correctly, because I did look it up today. I didn't write it down. Was a point blank thriller.
Ooh,
that's
good.
Good.
Yeah. That's good. I like that.
I never would have guessed that. I would have guessed fucking Medicine Man.
It's got to be Medicine Man.
Medicine
point
Man.
Blank. Is it point blank?
Well, it's weird. Like
gross point blank.
Yeah. I was like, oh, because she did Point Break.
Catherine Bigelow. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. So real quick, we should do like a little bit of health and fitness because I just wanted to show. I like talk to these guys about this.
Yeah, before we got here, we're gonna get to Stanger's. What would you call it before Stanger's Scraps? Or what was the name you had? You had a fake name for it?
Head Scratchers.
Stanger's Head Scratchers. Mm-hmm.
This is the Action
Boys. This is the random segment of the show that makes no sense with anything we've done before it.
Action Boys Health and Fitness Hoedown.
We got a brand. We got to find branding for it. But yeah, I've been asking Stanger some fitness questions lately.
Oh yeah, so this is real quick. So I told these guys about this Shakespeare protein shaker I got. $60 it retails for. Is it worth the money? It's absolutely not worth the money at all.
Now, what you said it had no edges, which was its appeal to it.
Yeah, so there's no edge. So like no protein crust gets stuck in there when you're trying to wash it out.
We brought up a lot how bad these things smell.
Yes. I have to remember to use my water bottle sometimes to rinse it out If I'm going to be, if I got to go do an errand after I go to the gym.
If you leave it in the car, it could fucking kill somebody. Like if they just like open it up, like what was in here? It
could fucking go to Seagal fucking.
Yeah. Hard to kill mode. Yeah.
You end up looking like the fucking people in Bat, like the Joker.
Three podcasters poisoned him with an old protein bottle. Now he's back to even the score.
He considered that 3-0, so he has to get back up to 3 to even it. But really, he wants to win.
He wants to win. So he'll have to do need one
double
more
overtime.
Oh, forgettable Chuck Norris movie. Just a couple of random words put together. So it does deliver on the no edges, and that is a nice feature. I think the reason it costs so much is because it's thermal lined,
like so a Yeti kind of.
Yeah, so it'll keep stuff hot or cold. And I guess if you were doing, like, people will mix protein powder with collagen. Mm. And so you could do that, like, scalding hot coffee in here with collagen and shake it hard and you're safe. And it'll keep it warm and keep your hand cool.
Oh, you can make, like, a bulletproof adjacent coffee pretty easily in there.
But I don't ever do that. I'm just, like, quickly just mixing.
I just have powder in it, go to the gym, add water on my way out usually. Yeah.
So I'm the same. So I think it's the $60 insulation thing is lost on me a little bit.
You drink it like 5 seconds after filling it up, right?
Yeah, like, so it's like immediately, and it's like, it is very heavy and durable. It could survive in one of these dystopian futures that we're talking about.
But does it smell?
Does not smell. No.
That's kind of selling me a little bit.
Yeah, you can get it clean. I mean, it does provide options. It just, it is a heavy
Does it have like
point.
Does it need like a strainer ball in it?
No.
No.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I might be down with that. Solely because you just sold me on like even just like
you just told us it's not worth it, then proceeded to sell us.
Well, I mean, it's like it's a splurge,
right? Yeah,
and so I would
I have
say
so little things I spend money on, like this is like exciting to me.
Well, another thing that's kind of a splurge that's worth it is this new podcast I've been hearing about, the Action Boys,
dude. I'm glad you brought this up because Action Boys has changed my life.
It's kind of a game changer. A lot of people are talking about it, and I usually listen to it for maybe only like 3 hours a week.
Yeah, it's all you need. It's the minimum dose required because you really do get a lot out of that. Now you can do more and push it, but really all you need is 3 hours a week. And that's just the $5.
And your girlfriend will like it too.
And people are saying that paying for podcasts is not necessary, but that's a myth. It has to do with your genetics and chronotype.
It's all about your chronotype. So if you match your chronotype up with the episode, you can find yourself an Action Boys episode that means a lot.
I find it really easy to work into my routine. And to me, it's just a daily part of my everyday.
Now, it's, for me, important. For me, listening to Action Boys. Listening to Action Boys, for me, hits on a few different fronts. It's both mental. It wakes me up. It gets me excited. And it's also physical in that I'm laughing and I'm engaging my core.
Yeah.
Something that I'm doing passively. And some listeners have seen results of up to 200 to 300 calories burnt just passively.
People have started to notice and ask me on a regular basis, like, there's something different about you. And I'll kind of be like, hey, check this out. And they'll get back to me and be like, yo, man, thank you so much for introducing me to this. This is now a daily part of my everyday regime that I do daily.
People are asking me, because I lost my double chin. Mm. Obviously, you can tell by my perfectly anvil-shaped beard that my chin is gone. And that's not from Jawsercise.
Yeah.
That's from laughing at the Shadow Wolves episode, which is a monthly $8 tier episode.
Because you've actually showed us the photos. It's really remarkable.
Yes. If anything, can we just throw it up here? The before picture.
So and one looks like him shaven and with way shorter hair. One looks like maybe he just grew his hair out and like is smiling and tan.
And one I'm a little tanner and the camera's a little further away.
Yeah, but those are just superficial things. Like you can actually tell the difference in these.
And the thing you can't tell, the difference that's impossible to measure, is how I'm feeling inside, because it's about look, feel, perform. Now you could see I obviously look better. You could see I'm obviously performing better, but you can't see how much better I feel from going to actionboys.biz and signing up as a Patreon.
People definitely should. It's not a myth.
It's not a myth. You just have to line it up with your chronotype.
If you line it up with your chronotype.
Right chronotype.
Yeah, if you line it up with.
People have been listening to Action Boys since who knows?
Yeah. It's I mean, my hair is a lot fuller. My dick's a lot harder. These are things like guys feel uncomfortable talking about. But
well, I first heard about Action Boys while I was watching pornography on Pornhub, and there was a little ad where one dick couldn't fill the jar up with cum, but the one of the Action Boys listener was overflowing with cum.
Hell, since I've been listening, I've made people squirt. It's not a myth. It's not pee.
It's not pee?
It's not pee.
It's not pee or a myth.
It's not a myth or pee. It's got to do with what your chronotype is. What? I mean, a lot of this stuff is out there. Like, you just have to look it up. And for me, talking with you guys about this.
Right,
too,
just organically.
Yeah, this is a natural conversation that comes up on our podcast. Yeah.
There's a couple guys talking.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty. It's always a blast to talk to you. It's fun to do it for a slightly different topic for 90 minutes instead of 3 hours, I guess. But for real, also, you guys have some other great podcasts. Check out the Dumbbells here in the Headgun family, and check out Raj Tapes. You can get them wherever you get podcasts. These guys are obviously, I'm fans of them. I have to be at this point. But check out their shit and check out my shit. Bye, shitheads.
Bloodsport.
Your shit's going to look great once you take in some Action Boys content.
Since I became a Shadow Wolf member, the amount of blood in my local, in my bowel movements has reduced by almost 1 gallon.
Unless you want more, then you'll get more.
Yeah, if you're looking for more blood. Blood in, blood out. Actionboys.biz.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone. People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!